सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः। देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः।
ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। लास्ट वीक भगवान श्री कृष्ण हैड टोल्ड अस what qualities arise from him, what are his gross and subtle expressions, the manifest and the unmanifest, that we can see and that which we can infer. They all arise from me, Bhagavan Sri Krishna said. And he mentioned a large number of qualities, most of which were divine. The idea is that if you want to see divinity, it is much easier to see it in a person who is noble, who is compassionate, who is kind, who is loving, as opposed to one who is very arrogant or hateful. So Bhagavan Sri Krishna mentioned the qualities that arise from him, and he started with the knowledge or the right understanding, which leads to wisdom, which leads to my ability to practice this. And then the result of that is non-delusion, because we are all deluded about what is our true nature, what is my goal and purpose. And so it is this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita and the scriptures which tells us that there is a reality underneath this world, which even though appears real, is a projection upon that reality. And as we develop more wisdom, we develop qualities like forgiveness, patience, helping all, and truth, which is a very important quality which Bhagavan mentions. And truth is not only doing the right thing, but also knowing the scriptures and abiding in the scriptures is truth. And such an individual who knows what his goal or purpose in life is develops dhamma and shama, control of the mind and control of the senses. So it is a progressive list of qualities that the Lord has given us that we all need to develop. And the ability to go beyond likes and dislikes and remain balanced in these pair of opposites. And then a few more qualities Sri Krishna had mentioned, which mostly in the fifth verse, where he talked about ahimsa, non-violence, and contentment, where a person is happy with what he has, and his goal in life is to give, not get. It's not what can I get from the world, but what can I give to the world. And then he talked about honor and dishonor, success and failure. All these pairs of opposites arise from me. And then we did ask the question, if everything arises from God, then why do I get the results of my karmas, good or bad? And we talked about the Samanya and a Vishesh Karana. The Lord is the Samanya Karana. He is the cause of this entire universe. Whatever is from the Lord. But you and I have the ability as human beings who have an intellect to choose out of all the good and bad things that are available. It's like when you go to a restaurant, you also have a choice of what you can eat. All the foods are available, healthy, unhealthy, and so it is your choice. So similarly, Bhagavan says that the karmas that you choose, good or bad or indifferent, result in good or bad or indifferent karma phala, and then that is what we have to undergo, and that determines my future life. Whatever I have done in my past reflects in my present life, what I am going through. Then what I do in this life reflects not only in the rest of my life but also in future life. So that is how the cycle of creation goes on. So today Bhagavan will tell us more about creation. What is creation? How this creation came into being? Who created it? And what was the purpose of creation? Why is this world created? And how we can conduct ourselves in this world, in this created world, is all mentioned in today's shlokas. So we'll start with chapter 10, verse number 6. Maharshaya Sapta Purve.
Maharshaya Sapta Purve.
Chatvaro Manavastatha.
Chatvaro manavastatha
madbhava manasa jataha.
Madbhava manasa jataha
yesham loka imah prajaha.
Yesham loka imah prajaha.
Maharshaya sapta purve चत्वारो मनवस्तथा मद्भावा मानसा जाताः येषां लोक इमाः प्रजाः. So maharshaya sapta maharsha. So there are seven maharshis. In later on, when you have time, you can read the names. Actually, Gurudev has mentioned it in the second verse of the 10th chapter. And in that verse, he has said that the seven Maharishis are different depending on which text you refer to. But the idea is that seven great Rishis, and some of the names are Atri, Vyasa, you know, Vashishta, Vishwamitra. So all of these are the great Kashyap. So these were the great Rishis, Pulastaya, who were the seven Sapta Rishis. So that is one Bhagavan mentioned, Sapta Rishi, seven. And Chatvaro Purve, Chatvaraha, four ancients, We'll talk about who are the four ancients. And then Tatha. Tatha means and the Manavas, Manus. The Manus who are said to be our original humans, from whom we all originated, from whom we all, the whole human race started from that. And then Bhagavan says, Madbhava, from my nature, they all have my nature. They are created in my nature, as also the Bible said, God created man in his own image. So what it means is that we have those divine qualities and we have the ability to become one with God, realize the divinity within us. And how were they created? Bhagavan says, Manasa Jataha. They are my mind born, created out of my mind. And we'll talk about that also. And Yesham Loke. So in this world, Ima Prajaha. So that is how this whole Praja, this whole humans, all the creation, came into being in this world. So how did creation start? So it is said that in symbolically it is shown that Vishnu Bhagavan is lying on the Sheshnag in the Milky Ocean, and Brahmaji, the creator, appears. How does he appear? There is a lotus stem, and the lotus appears from his navel, and on top of that Brahmaji is sitting. And he starts the work of creation. So this Brahmaji is not the same in every creation. It is said that every time the universe starts, a new Brahmaji manifests. The universe is created and all the beings, and that lasts for approximately 4 billion years. And then when the universe goes into pralaya or dissolution, or the universe ends, that Brahmaji also goes into pralaya, dissolution, and then a new Brahmaji is created. And that is how the universe is created and dissolved. And this cycle is said to be anadi. When did the first creation happen? We don't know. Because God is beginningless, so the creation is also said to be beginningless. Of course, God was there first. And then creation appeared afterwards. So there is a mind srishti and a karma srishti. Mana srishti and karma srishti. Mana srishti is that there was a sankalpa, or there was a thought in the Lord's mind that the world should be created. And even in the Bible it is said, God said, let there be light. And then there was light. So this sankalpa, or this thought in the Lord's mind, then Brahmaji solidifies that, and that is called karma srishti, where now we see this universe of air, space, fire, water, earth, which has been solidified. So this sankalpa has become visible, has become solidified. The sankalpa we cannot see. Sankalpa is the firm thought that arose in the Lord's mind that there should be creation, and then this was further manifested by Brahmaji, the creator. Now, how did this manifest? So it is said that the first four children of Brahmaji were Sanat Kumaras. They were the mind-born children, because there was no male or female. Brahmaji, from his mind, created the four Sanat Kumaras. And their names are Sanat, Sanatana, Sanak, and Sanandan. They are similar sounding names, but these were the four original creations of Brahmaji. And Brahmaji was expecting that now they will take on the job of creation, but they were total sannyasis. They said, look, Father, we have no interest in procreation, no interest in creation, and they took off. And they said, we just want to realize the truth. And these were the four then who went to Bhagwan Shri Shiva as Dakshinamurti. Lord Shiva appeared in front of them, and they sat before Lord Shiva under the Vatavriksha, and then with the symbol of this Jnana Chin Mudra, Lord Shiva taught them the highest truth. So they had no interest in creation. And Brahmaji said, okay, I have to try again. So then he created Naraji, which was also his mind-born son. This was the fifth one. And Naraji said, sorry, Father, I have no interest. I am a sannyasi. And he took off. And ever since then, he has been traveling to the different parts of different worlds, heaven and earth and all different lokas. And Naradji's one job is to bring people to God. He said, that's what I'm going to do. He's the original missionary who said, I will just give people this divine knowledge. And that's how Dhruva also got this knowledge from Naradji of the mantra of Sri Vishnu. So then Brahmaji said, okay, third attempt. So the third attempt was successful. She says, if you don't succeed, keep trying again and again. And so the third attempt were the 14 Manus. 14 Manus. And out of them, the first two, we have a name as Manu and Shatrupa. They were the man and woman, which they call as Adam and Eve in the Bible. So these 14 Manus then were, they were male and female, and they then propagated the human race. And that's why we are all called Manava, because we are originated from Manu. Manu, so we are called Manava, and in English it's called man. So that is the same origin, that we all started from these 14 Manus. And that is how the creation started. And that, and then it has continued, as we know. Now we are 7 billion. So human beings are very good at multiplying, and so we have continued to grow tremendously. Then that is the Purve Chatvaro, are the 4 Sanat Kumaras, and Manava are the Manus. Now, who were the Sapta Rishis? We talked about that, the 7 Rishis. And that is how these Rishis appeared in the lineage, as from the Manus, as the human race was evolving. The 7 Rishis were right in the beginning of the creation. And so these Rishis, depending on which Rishi our lineage is, that is what determines our Gotra. So somebody says, I belong to Kashyap Gotra or Atri or Pulastaya. That means though that Rishi was in my lineage as the one of the original creations. So Rishis represent our Gotra, because they were the knowledge, they were the subtle aspect. And why is the word 7 used? Gurudev in his commentary explains that in the original creation, there was the total intellect, which is called Mahat. Mahat is the total intellect. And combined with Ahankara, or the total ego, of all the beings, not only humans, but animals, birds, plants, fish, they all have a intellect, they all have this ego, this sense of I. And combined with the Tanmatras. Tanmatras are the 5 pre-elements. The 5 elements we know are air, space, fire, water, and earth. But there are pre-elements before this grossification happened, and that is explained very well in Tattva Bodh. If you have chance to get that book, you can see how the elements from these Tanmatras, from the pre-elements, get grossified, and that's how we can see the gross air, space, fire, water, earth. So these 7 Rishis are representative of these 7 factors: the Mahat, the total intellect, the total ego, and the Tanmatras, the pre-elements. So that is why Sapta Rishi, Bhagavan Sri Krishna mentions. And 4, why does he mention 4? You know, the 4 Sanat Kumaras represent the 4 Antakarana, the inner equipment, because each one of us, just as a computer has hardware and then has the software which determines how the hardware, the program will run. So each one of us is a computer. The hardware is this visible body. The software is the Antakarana, which is called the inner equipment. And that is Mana, Buddhi, Chit, Ahankar. So mind, intellect, memory, and ego. So these 4 determine how my actions will be in this world. So these 4 is these inners, the software, and the hardware is the 7. You know, the 5 elements, the intellect, the ego. So together, these 4 and 7, 11, determine how an individual will be, based on his mind, intellect, the gross body, the physical abilities, whether it's male, female, all those things are, that is how the universe expresses. So Bhagavan Sri Krishna says that I am the material cause and I am the efficient cause. So the efficient cause is the is the mind, intellect, and so on. And the material cause is what we can see, as we had taught last week also. That in the pot, there is the efficient cause is the pot maker, the material cause is the mud or the clay, and then the instrumental cause is the wheel on which the pot revolves as it is made. So Bhagavan says, I am all three. I am the efficient cause, the instrumental cause, and the material cause, because it was not that God was there and then somewhere there was sitting space, air, fire, water, earth, and he took that material, because then the question would be, who created that material? So Bhagavan says, I myself became this universe. So I created the universe out of myself. So we are all nothing but God, just as a pot is nothing but clay, a necklace is nothing but gold. So similarly, you and I are that divinity with name and form. And that is what they say, that this whole universe is God and God alone. And that is the essence of this this particular verse, which tells us the process of creation. Because the people want to know how this creation happened. So this verse explains it, and I hope I was able to communicate the stepwise how the whole creation came into being. First there was the sankalpa, then the ideas came, and from in the mahat, the total intellect, and then in the tanmatras, which is the solid manifestation, and in that the four subtle elements were placed: mana, buddhi, chit, ahankar. So mind, intellect, ego, and ahankar, and the memory. So now we'll go to the next verse, which will tell us about Bhagavan's vibhuti. What is vibhuti and what is yoga? Because that is the title of this chapter. And so that Sri Krishna will explain to us in the verse number 7. Verse number 7.
Dr. Mehta?
Yes.
I had one question. You mentioned Naraji.
Naraji, yes.
Is Naraji the same as you see Narayana?
No. Narayana is Vishnu Bhagavan. Vishnu, the Narayana is the original Lord. Naraji is a saint, is a monk who travels and has the ability to travel in different zones.
Okay.
So Naraji is a human basically, but has the ability to travel through various, and his job is to bring people to God, and he appears wherever he is needed. He has the ability to appear and guide us. So Narayana is the original God, you can say, Vishnu, the original manifestation of Brahman.
I've seen him in some of these Hindi kind of movies, movies, and they always have this little guy that kind of appears in the sky, and he goes, Narayana, Narayana.
Yeah, that's the one.
So I thought that was maybe Naraji.
No, Naraji appears and he remembers Narayana, just as when you get up in the morning and say, oh God, or you say, oh Krishna, or oh Shiva, or whatever. So he worships Narayana.
So that is Naraji going around saying Narayana, Narayana.
Narayana, Narayana, yes.
Okay, yes. It's a little confusing.
No, that's right. No, but he's not saying his name, he's remembering God.
I get it.
Right. Thank you.